We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of the day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is one of my favorites, our brother in Christ, Mr. Rick Spain. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Doing good.
Amen.
Yeah, happy to be here.
We're always so grateful when you come. It's so, you always bring good food to this table. Well, and I like to eat spiritual food.
It's because of the Lord. The Lord Amen. Gives it to me.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work by a company with Christian values. If you would like to be entered for the book blessing for the month of March to be added to the will that Tina will spin, all you have to do is like, share, and comment done. The book for this month is Pray Big for Your Child by Will Davis Jr. And you don't have to limit those prayers to just your children. Today is Thursday. Pastor Dwight is not in the building. However, we're going to do our best to have a word from Pastor Dwight through the Truth broadcast. The title for that today will be Covenant Courage. So after the program is over, we'll end the iPad, we'll reset it up, and then come back with a word from Pastor Dwight through the Truth broadcast.
Now you can breathe.
Okay. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out?
Yeah, I just want to say bless you, Dwight, for the words that you share. They're just timely. They are encouraging, and they bring hope. Thank you, brother. Father, we love you. We give you. We bless you. We give you praise, Lord God. Thank you for today. This is the day you made. You made it for us to rejoice and be glad in it, Lord God. And I pray in spite of what goes on around us, Lord God, that you would restore that joy of our salvation on the inside. I thank you for it. Father, thank you for the words that are going forth, your words. Holy Spirit, we give you command of this program today. We thank you. Father, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to do, Lord God. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title.
The Flood. So you're going to think we're going to get into Noah, but we're not. I want to start with something because the Lord keeps impressing it upon me. And this doesn't have to do with the lesson, but it's just something I wrote down. Goes like this. The times with the Lord. Times that were good. Times that were not so good. Times of heaviness. Times of absolute freedom. Times I wouldn't miss, and times I so wanted to avoid. In all the ups and downs of life, he's always been with me. Even when I would have given up on myself, he never did. I know that's for more than just me this morning. You know, it's definitely a personal thing for me because absolutely, if I was God and he were me, I wouldn't have stuck my neck out as far as he did. But anyway, it's just a good thought. So our scripture text today is going to be in Isaiah 59. And I went to the eye doctor. I was going to tell you guys this, but I'll just tell everybody. I had an injury to my eye, and so I was seeing some spots, and it was concerning me, and then a little aura on the outside of my left eye where the injury was. So I go to the eye doctor, and man, oh, the equipment they have now, it's just incredible. You know, and so I've always been a 20/25 person with my eyes, 20/25. And so the doctor, he starts examining everything, go through all these fancy gadgets and machines, and I'm looking at letters and I'm telling him all the letters, and we get done with the examination. He says, "Well, you know, your eyesight is 20/20. He said, "Just keep reading, using your reading glasses," because I told him my eyes get tired in the morning and in the evening. So in the morning, it takes a little bit for my eyes to wake up. So I do have my reading glasses for those who can see. But then after he got done with the examination, I said, "Well, what about the spots I'm seeing?" He says, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "Well, that's the reason I came in here, because I had an eye injury." He said, oh, you know, he explains to me the spots, or what do you call them, floaters?
Yeah.
Floaters in the eye. Now I can't hardly see. It was three spots, and then it turned into one spot, and I can't hardly see it. Yeah, so praise God. God's faithful. He is faithful. Why'd I even get into that? I don't know. Oh, because I'm going to try to read this without reading glasses. That's what it was. And on the iPad, it's easier. I'm fully equipped today. I have my iPad with the Bible app on it. And if you can see, I got a Bible too. So anyway, this is what it says. In verse 15, it says, that's Isaiah 59. "So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands will fully repay. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My Spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore." So thus you see that the enemy comes in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord raises a standard against him. So where do you put the comma in there? So in the text, in this translation, it is, "The enemy comes in like a flood." I choose to put the comma, "When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against him." So there are three influencing factors in our world today. The first that I want to talk about is the world. The world is an influencing factor. And so when I talk about the world in the first sense, I'm talking about the inhabitants and all the earth. In the second sense, I'm talking about systems. And so the world has a system that is attempting to take over our minds, take over our lives, take over everything that we do. We as Christians, we understand that. We see that. Those that are in the world, they don't. That is how they operate, according to this influencing factor, the world system. What controls the world system are two factors, money and power. That are the two controlling factors in the world. So if you see people that are worldly minded, this is what they're controlled by. We as the body of Christ, now this is not for everybody. This message is for the body of Christ. As the body of Christ, that is not our motivation. And we need to understand that, because if you don't, that influence will override the second influence. And the second influence that I want to go over is God. God is the second influence in this world. Now, he does not entangle himself in the world system. We need to understand that. The world system, because we live here, and this basically is what we know. We almost think that the world system is greater than God. That is not and never can be. And I want you to understand that. God is a factor. You know, even for the atheist, God is a factor. Because if you deny something, you're automatically acknowledging. Automatic. And so he is a factor. And so, I mean, we read in Romans 1 that the people have gone their own way, and God has given them over to this world system. And once again, it's the money and power. You know, I want to get into that just a little bit more, because we don't understand that. You see, there's people in the high places in the evil kingdom that have learned this system. And what do they use? They use rhetoric. They use they influence you with pictures. They influence you with pleasure. These things. And what are these all tied to? They all tie to what the Bible calls our flesh or our sinful nature. So when we're looking at God, God does not tie to that area of us. And so when we struggle in these areas, we want God to come and be a part of it, but he can't and he won't. So God is that influence. You know, even though we may not acknowledge him in all things, he has put something in our hearts. Romans 1 tells us that. We all have a conscience. Now, in Corinthians, Paul talks about the consciences being seared, seared as in when you're cooking a steak on an open flame. What do? You lay it on there and you sear it to encapsulate the liquids in there. You know, I didn't say that quite right, but anyway, you know, and so, but that's what happens to us when we don't follow what our conscience leads us in. And so we got to understand, as Christians, Holy Spirit is connected to our conscience. We have been made renewed. We are a new creation that's never been created before. You know, and so what happens is when we receive Jesus as our Savior, he comes and lives in us. And that ignites a conscience in us. And even as Christians, if we do not listen to what our conscience tells us, after a while, we become oblivious to it. But still, God's influence is there. Now, there's times, even when your conscience is seared, that God opens up the understanding for brief moments, says, I'm still here. You know, that's one thing that, you know, as long as the earth remains, as long as it remains, He is not going to withdraw his hand from an influence on all of our lives, whether we believe or whether we don't. So the third influence I want to go over is me. Me is an influence, or I am an influence. And so when I say that, I'm not talking about Rick Spain. I'm talking about you in particular. But if we talk about it in the you way, it's an out there thought. If we talk about it or I or me mindset, then we are focused on ourselves. So we are an influence in the world. And how do we influence our world? How do you influence your world? You know, how you answer that question is what influences you. That's the key right there. What influences you? Because I promise you, what you're being influenced by, you are influencing others. And we can look at this in the house setting or the home setting. You know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, back in, I mean, it's been time past. You know, I am an action movie person. You know, I'm like a typical guy, right? Action movie. And so, you know, I watched a lot of movies that I probably shouldn't have watched. But it was just the action. You know, it was the action in it. You know, it kind of stirs up that male testosterone. Or it stirs up the spirit in a person to watch how the weak overcome the strong. Or it, you know, it looks like there's no way this guy's going to make it. And, you know, obviously it's screenplay. But anyway, and then Heather comes into my life. And she starts saying, should you be watching that? I don't know. I'm just watching. You know, it's action. I like the action of it. You know, it took a little bit. And then I started, you know, Holy Spirit, because a little bit of that conscience was seared, I believe. You know, I'm being honest, guys. So, you know, and then, you know, I start saying, okay, yeah, I probably shouldn't be putting that in me. I'm a Bible teacher, and I come on the radio at least once a month. And so I've got to watch out what's influencing me. So when you understand that you are an influence, I am an influence. When I say that, I want you to recognize the I is you. I am an influence. Whether I realize it or not, I am an influence. And especially in our homes with our kids, we really need to recognize that. So, you know, it's one of the challenges on this program here is knowing when to stop, because we have to stop sometime, and we got to take a break for commercials. Well, we're not going to do that right now, but after this thought, we will, and I got 3 points on it. But I read an article yesterday. I like to read. I like to keep up with stuff, but I learned that some stuff I don't have to keep up with as much, and I got to recognize what source I'm getting information from. That's really important. So, you know, when I say that, I still listen to the opposing voice. I do. And the reason why is because I want to know how they are thinking. And so if you don't know how your enemy's thinking, then you're going to go in there and get surprised. And so we, you know, a lot of times we hear what they say, well, that's not right. And, you know, and this is what's right and all. And so we get stuck on the right and we lose the left. That's really what I want to talk about today. So the article I read, and this is a source that I trust. I trust this source. It is the Epoch Times. And so this is something that I get email every day. It's like little news stories. Now, I don't go through every one of them. Sometimes I don't go through any of them. I just peruse through it, and I say, well, is this something that I need to influence my mind with? And so I got to the end of this, and at the end they have what they call opinion columns. And so I don't remember the guy's name, but the article was a shorter version of the title, Is the National Divorce a Losing Strategy? So what does that mean, national divorce? Well, there is a movement going right now, and even in the political arena, one of our senators on the right expressed this thought, and that is, you know, we need to just separate the states. You know, if they want to believe that way, let them believe that way. But, you know, we don't want any part of that. So we just need to be separated. And so this guy was saying that the national divorce strategy is a losing battle. It's a losing battle. And I went through and I'm reading the comments on it. It's real well written. It's a good piece. And, you know, I agreed with a lot of what he had to say, but I went through the opinions on what he'd written. So you know how you can do that, go in there and read those opinions. And, you know, there was the ones I read is about 60 or 40% that were in agreement with what he had to say and 60% that weren't. And, you know, and the thought is, well, you know, what he's trying to say is we just need to lay back and just let everything happen. But that's not, in my opinion, what he was saying. And so after I read all this stuff, I wrote down and said, you know, I've read a lot of these opinions, and I might as well give you mine. And so I got in there, and, of course, I did give an opinion, but if we now the scripture both does tell us to come apart and be separated, and I don't want to deny what the scripture says, but what does that mean to come apart and be separated? That's more in your actions, what you do. It's not about being completely separating yourself from somebody. You know, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And so this is important that we understand this. We're in the world. And as long as we are in the world, you know, we're here to be an influence to the world. Now, when it says we are of the world, but we are in the world, but not of the world, and come apart and be separated, this is not talking about completely just isolating them, putting them in their own little camp there. You get in your own camp over here and you can do what you want. I'm going to stay over here in my camp. No, we got to interact with people. And so this basically is one of the points that the writer had written about. So that separatist mentality is good on the character issue, but it's not good on the physical issue. On the physical issue, you know, just because somebody thinks different than we do, which, let me give you a little truth here, everybody thinks a little bit different than you do. Everybody. Everybody thinks a little bit different than I do. We're all unique. And so if we think, okay, man, they're way out there, you know, and you know, I'm on God's side, you know, so I can't touch that. Well, what did Jesus do? Let's look at that question. What did the apostles do when Jesus left? That's kind of interesting, isn't it? That puts a whole new light on the situation. So the separatist mentality as a character issue, yes. As a physical issue, no. Because I want you to understand that we were once, our understandings were darkened. We couldn't see the truth. It might have been spoken to us, but and may have been had a little glimpse of what's being said. But until Jesus becomes a part of your life, you don't see it. Our eyes were blinded. And so when we think about that, because basically what we're looking at is right and wrong here. I'm right, you're wrong. I can give you scripture. I can tell you, this is why I'm right and this is why you're wrong. You know what? The people of the world can't see that. They can't see it. Not unless the Spirit of God opens up their eyes. And so if we understand that, then, this separatist mentality would have devalued the body of Christ to a very minimal amount. And for that matter, it could have jeopardized your eyes being opened. So just because somebody's in one camp and I'm in another camp, that doesn't mean that we don't interact with them, because how are they going to see the light? Unless the light's shining. Okay? So, I kind of said all these points in one. I didn't even read over this. I just wrote this morning. So, over in Matthew 28, Jesus said the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Proclaim the good news. That's a better way to put it. In a Christian sense, we can say that to Christians. Preach the gospel. What it means is speak forth the good news. Proclaim it. Say, hey, man, look at what the Lord's done, or look at how he's changed my life. Good news. He can do that for you too. That is the commission. And not only that, he said, make disciples of all nations. Well, what's interesting to me is unless I'm discipled, I can't disciple someone else. So what does that mean? We need to be discipled. If you are not discipled, well, you know what? I don't like the church setting. And the TV preachers are all just wanting money. Yeah. So, me and the Lord, we're good. And I can read my Bible and I can learn. Well, you know what? That's the best way, is to open that book up, read it, and study it. Not just read it, study it. But God has set the church up in a way. It is a discipleship program. So what does disciple mean? It means to be like the teacher. And so if you don't have any teachers in your life, you need one. I wasn't planning on talking about this or going that direction, but we all need teachers in our life. And so we need that discipleship. And once we are discipled, then we can go and disciple others. Now, I know in the church setting, even though in today's church it's pretty watered down, folks. I hate to tell you that, but the gospel is pretty watered down. It's more about what we talked about in the beginning, the world's way. We have developed the world's way to proselytize or disciple the church. God's not in it. He's not in it. Okay, so can you do it? Yeah, you can do it. Lights and smoke and whatever. Being comfortable, I don't have a problem with that. But when it disrespects God and it doesn't lead us in the way that he has designed the church to operate, then we've got to step back and say, no, you know what? This can't be our leading focus. It's not about how many people you get. It's about the people that you have, what you're doing with them. You know, and so in discipleship, that's important. Because if we're not equipped, how can we equip another? So when we look at separatist mentality, it's not biblical, and past experience shows that it does not work. A house divided against itself cannot stand. And so where do we want to unify in? Not in a concept or this is the way it should be. We need to unify in Him. Because when we're unified in Him through discipleship and training, then what's going on around us doesn't have near the effect. If your inside's right, your outside will fall in line.